our scripture lesson for this morning, and I'll invite you to rise in honor of God's word as we listen to that. I realize it's not in your bulletin here today, but it comes from 2 Chronicles 24, and we'll be reading verses 17 through 22. And it would help, I'm sorry, give me 1 second, I was in 1 Chronicles, a little bit off there, okay. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the princes of Judah came and paid homage to the king. Then the king listened to them, and they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for guilt, for this guilt of theirs. Yet he sent prophets among them to bring them back to the Lord. These testified against them, but they would not pay attention. Here ends the reading. And oh, there it is. Okay, it did get in there. But you may be seated at this time. Well, as I look back over the course of my life, and again, as you look back over yours, you'll see the same thing in probably a slightly different way. But as I look back over the course of my life, a number of people have spoken into it. There have been a number of people who have influenced me, and there have been a number of people who have been very intentional about both leading me and also about guiding me. And when I go back and I think about this, of course, I have to think about my parents, because like all parents, they sought to raise us right. Like the rest of us, they were far from perfect, but they wanted both my sister and I to go down the right path, and of course, church was a huge part of that. There was no question when I was growing up that we would be going to church on Sunday morning every week. There is no question that I would be going to Sunday school. As I got a little bit older, there was no question that I would be involved in the youth group. There was no question that I would also be there and take part in the small group of which my family was involved with our church. Our church was our family. It was a part of our day-to-day life as a family. I also tend to think of the pastor under whom I grew up. He was my pastor from the time I was 9 years old, and he was a pastor of that church until well after I was a pastor myself. And in my mind, he never stopped being my pastor throughout the course of his life. He took a real interest in everyone in the church, but with me, seeing the way that the Lord was working in my life, he sought to nurture my faith and to encourage me in the Lord's service. And so again, a very influential man in my life, and I was honored when I was asked to participate in his funeral when he passed away just over 5 years ago. I think of certain youth leaders and Sunday school teachers who were a part of my life as well. And once again, I felt that each one of these people genuinely cared about me, and they sought to encourage me and to nurture me in my faith. I think about campus ministry directors that were of great help to me when I went off to college. When I first got to the university, I got involved in Campus Crusade for Christ. Of course, now they're called Crew, but we had directors there. There were three of them, two men and a woman. But they took a real interest in the students and in their faith. Later on in college, I got involved in another campus ministry that was starting up. And once again, the pastor who was a part of that, who was helping us, put a great deal of effort into teaching us and discipling us. Then, of course, there were a couple of seminary professors that really stick out in my mind. And that, you know, to you, it may not seem like a very big deal. After all, it was their job, right, to teach us. But they got to know each of us personally and took a real interest in our faith and also in preparing us for ministry. I think of the pastor under whom I interned. We worked very closely together for the 3 years that I was studying at seminary. And as the church that I was a part of there was a new church plant, the pastor there, he was working part-time for the church and working a couple other jobs besides, and that's where I came in. As a seminary intern, I was able to step in and help him and work alongside him during those years of study, and while he was so busy, of course. And of course, he took a great interest in me. He was a teacher who also became a very good friend, and he's a man that I still keep in touch with from time to time today. And of course, there have been many friends. There have been many friends who were more than just friends. They were friends who have taken an active interest in my faith, and they have sought to encourage me in it, and I, of course, have tried to do the same for them. All of these people have been very positive influences in my life. And when I say they were positive influences, again, what I mean is that they sought to encourage me in my faith as well as in my walk with the Lord. They spoke into my life in a way that kept my focus where it needed to be, upon the Lord and upon His Word, and once again, and upon my walk with Him. I've also had voices that have spoken into my life that I haven't known personally. They are preachers of God's Word, they are teachers of our faith, and I have taken the time to listen to them or to read their books for just that reason. I've taken the time to do so that my faith might be encouraged and that I might learn more of Scripture from these people. But of course, there have also been plenty of other voices who have spoken into my life as well. And they have not spoken into my life in such a positive way. No matter how well-intentioned they may have seemed at the time, they sought the opposite of the others. They sought to undermine my faith and to lead me away from the Lord. And I'm not going to go through a list of examples of this for you, but again, there have been a number. There have been teachers, there have been professors, there have been friends and acquaintances. And the same thing, I believe, is true of most of us, of really all of us. I'm sure it's something that's true of you. And as we look at that scripture lesson that I read for you this morning, we see that it's also something that was true of King Joash, who is the focus of that passage. Now, most of you, as we get back into that account, you're probably not all that familiar with King Joash. He's not typically one that we have in our Bible storybooks that we read to our kids. He's not one that is typically a part of Vacation Bible School programs that we conduct here at the church. But there is a very important lesson here for us. And we didn't get all of his backstory as I read just a few verses about his life for you. But if we back up a couple of chapters, we find that his story is quite tragic. We find that it's quite tragic and heartbreaking. Now, King Joash, his own father, was a very wicked king. And his grandmother encouraged his father in his wickedness, and so did the rest of the family. Now, his reign came to an end when he was visiting the king of Israel who had been wounded in battle. And even though he was a visitor, even though he was a foreign dignitary, he got caught up in an uprising against the king of Israel. And as a result, he was captured, he was put to death. And so too were many of his sons and other family members who attended him. Now, when she saw that her son was dead, the king's mother decided that she was going to destroy all of the royal family and that she was going to assume power for herself. And that she did. However, one of the king's sisters, who was also married to the priest, grabbed her baby nephew Joash, the son of the king, and she hid him away. He was hidden in the temple for 6 years, and in this way he was spared from death himself. But several years later, this priest, whose name was Jehoiada, made known to the leaders of the military that the king's son was alive. And they agreed together to oust the child's grandmother and to make him king. And as she tried to stop this, she herself was put to death. So in this way, Joash became king, but he was only 7 years old when he took the throne, and it's hard to imagine one so young leading a nation, isn't it? It's needless to say that he needed advisors, and the primary advisor to King Joash was this priest who was named Jehoiada. And at the beginning of chapter 24, we are told that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now, one example we are given here in our passage is that he restored the house of the Lord. The house of God had fallen into disrepair over the years because of neglect and because the people, along with their kings, had fallen into idol worship. But Jehoiada, he made a chest and set it outside of the temple. He then called for the people to bring in to the house of the Lord the tax that had been imposed on the people by Moses, way back during the time of the Exodus. And we're told that everyone rejoiced. Everyone brought their tax and dropped it into this chest. And the money was then used to hire laborers who repaired the house of God. Now, all of this sounds great. But bear in mind what I said earlier. Joash, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord for all the days that Jehoiada the priest lived. And what this tells us is that Jehoiada spoke into his life. It tells us that Jehoiada spoke into his life in a very positive way. It tells us that he spoke into the life of Joash, encouraging him in his faith and in his service of the Lord. However, once Jehoiada died, and this is where our lesson for this morning picks up, something changed. We see that the princes of the nation came and they paid homage to the king, and at this point in his life, the king listened to them. The result of this was that they abandoned the house of the Lord. They once again began to serve idols, and because of this, because of their guilt, the wrath of the Lord came upon the land. Now, I think we can all acknowledge that it's hard when we lose a mentor. It's hard when we lose somebody who has been such a positive influence upon our life. But it's not as though the king was without other positive influences. It's not as if he lacked a godly voice speaking into his life. And we know this because we're told that God sent prophets among them to bring the people back to the Lord. But even though he did so, the people would not pay attention. In fact, we hear briefly about the son of Jehoiada. Again, this is the same Jehoiada who had had such a positive influence in the life of the king. He came and prophesied to the people. He asked them why they broke the commandments of God, and he told them that because they had forsaken the Lord had forsaken them. But once again, the people would not listen. We're told that they conspired against him, and we're told that by command of the king, they stoned him to death in the house, in the court of the house of the Lord. So this is how far things went in the life of King Joash. He went from being a very godly king under the influence of a very godly priest to an idol worshiper under the influence of the princes and the people. He went from being one who restored the worship of the Lord in the land to one who abandoned the Lord and who murdered God's prophet. And once again, the thing that stands out to us are those who were speaking into the life of the king. The thing that stands out to us here are the influences in his life. And what stands out to us is the shift in those to whom the king was listening. Now, I realize we might object to this, and we might point out that Joash, after all, he could have been his own man, right? And we might say that even though this great influence in his life was dead, he should have been his own man. We might say that it was possible for him to maintain his faith and to live for the Lord regardless of what these wicked advisors were saying to him. And there is some truth to this, right? He didn't have to listen to the suggestions of the wicked who were speaking into his life. He didn't have to accept their counsel. He certainly did not have to cave into them. But even though as we read this passage of Scripture, it's easy for us to look down on Joash, as we look at our own lives, we find that we're not all that different. In fact, we find that we're very much the same. We can see changes in our lives as we have listened to different voices. We can see changes in our life as we, over the course of time, have come under different influences. As we reflect on his life, the influence that others have upon us is also plain, isn't it? The influence that others have upon us, whether it be for good or for bad, is very clear. And the difference that it's made in our life is abundantly clear. You know, like Joash, many of us, we started out our life on the right path. And again, I don't mean to suggest that we were ever perfect or that we were without sin, but from the very beginning of our life, we had godly influences who encouraged us in our faith and also in our walk with the Lord. Many of us in our society today, we started off our life in the church. Our parents brought us to church. We attended Sunday school most weeks. We may have attended VBS or church camps during the summer. And as we entered our teen years, youth group became a regular part of our life. And during those early years, we never even thought to question the Lord. We never even thought to question our faith. But as time went on, we began listening to other voices. And just like Joash, we began listening to wicked advisors. We started listening to our teachers who didn't believe in the Bible. We started listening to our friends who enjoyed the sinful pleasures of life. We started looking to the movies and the TV shows that we watched as an expression of what normal life is supposed to look like. And as a result, our faith became a thing of the past. Our church involvement became a thing of the past. It was looked upon as something that is old-fashioned, as boring, or as irrelevant. We also began doing things that we once thought unappealing. We began doing things that we once thought unthinkable. We began engaging in sins that we had never before considered. We began doing things of which we knew the Lord would not approve. And I realize that the picture I just painted for you is extreme. However, even though that's true, even though it is extreme, it's a very accurate picture for many in our society today. However, for others, maybe it was a little more subtle. You know, speaking for myself, as I was going through these periods of life, I never walked away from the Lord. I never turned my back on our faith, but I did fall into sin on many occasions. And what I mean is that because I listened to other influences, I did things that I probably would not have done on my own. I fell into sins that I would not have chosen on my own. I did things that I had never before desired or even thought of doing. And even though, of course, I've confessed these things and sought God's forgiveness, and even though I know I have received His forgiveness, they mark low points in my life and in my life of faith. However, even though some of us have listened to wicked advisors, even though some of us have wandered away from the Lord at various points, I do believe that God continues to reach out to us, just as He did to Joash in our lesson for today. He seeks to draw us to Himself, and we know that some indeed respond to the work of God. We see examples of those who long ago wandered away from the Lord who eventually came back. God reached out to them, and He did so through friends and family members. He reached out to them through maybe a teacher or a mentor. He reached out to them through a book or through a sermon on the radio or a podcast. But He reached out to them through His word, and they returned to the faith in which they had been raised. They returned to the church. Now, still others, their life might have looked exactly the opposite of what I just described. They may have started out their life without a godly influence. They may have begun their life with wicked influences guiding their way. But still the Lord reached out to them and they listened to these voices. They received the gospel and they began living a life of faith. As I shared earlier, each and every one of us have had both types of advisors in our lives, haven't we? We've had both types of voices speaking into our lives. And the same is true of us even now. But the question for us in the face of this is, who are we going to listen to? Whose counsel do we value more, and whose counsel will we receive? The message that I'm trying to give you this morning is a rather simple one. Because, of course, we must not follow the example of Joash. We must not turn from godly advisors to those who are wicked. And of course, if we have done so, we must repent. We must confess our sin and look to Jesus for the mercy that He was born into this world to provide for us. I do realize that my words this morning can be taken to an extreme, so please don't understand what I'm trying to say. While there are some who believe that we must completely cut ourselves off from the world around us, that's not what I'm trying to tell you here this morning. I'm not suggesting that we become like the Amish and go develop our own little communities separate from everybody else. I'm not suggesting that it's wrong to send your kids to public school, even knowing some of the things that they will be taught. I'm not suggesting that it's wrong for us to watch movies or listen to music or the like, but we do have to understand them and receive them for what they are. we have to understand that some of our teachers are not believers. And so while it's fine for us to learn math from them, while it's fine for us even to learn something like science from them, we don't have to receive their beliefs when it comes to matters of faith. We can also watch certain movies or read certain books simply for the entertainment value that they provide. We can enjoy them, realizing that they are not a source of truth, right? We can enjoy them, recognizing that they are not the Word of God. Again, it's how we receive them. But the other question we have to ask ourselves as we consider the story of Joash is this: what kind of voice are we? As we speak into the lives of others, what is it that they hear? Are we encouraging them in the faith? Are we building them up in the Word of God? Or are we doing the opposite? Are we leading them away from the Lord? Now, as believers, we know the call that God has given to us. We know that He's called us to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. We know that He's called us to make disciples of all nations. We know that He's called us to be His witnesses. And for this reason, our words and our influence should reflect that purpose. They must never lead someone away from the Lord. They must never lead someone into judgment. Jesus, as we know, He warned against this. He said that if we cause a little one who believes in Him to sin, it would be better for us to have a millstone placed around our neck and for us to be cast into the depths of the sea. In other words, we are better off dead than leading others away from the Lord, particularly young ones. And so let us then receive the godly voices that speak into our life. Let us be guided by those who seek to encourage us and who seek to build us up in our faith. Let us reject those who lead us away from the Lord. And in the same way, let us be a godly voice, a godly influence for all of those who surround us. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank You so much for the ways that You have worked in each one of our lives. And as we reflected, Lord, each one of us, You have placed into our life some very godly influences over the course of the years. And these influences have more than likely been many. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us, that You would enable us to receive what these people have to say, that we would be encouraged by them in our faith and also in our walk with You. And in the same way, give us the strength, give us the ability to reject those who lead us astray. Again, Lord, work in our lives for our blessing. We also pray that You would build us up and that You would enable us to be godly voices and influences to those around us, Lord. Use us to share the gospel. Use us to make disciples. And we pray, Lord, that once again people might be built up in faith through each one of us. And we ask this all in Your name. Amen.